Hello and welcome to the Unmissables podcast.
Woohoo!
I'm Boyd Hilton. I'm joined by Stephanie Seelan, who just said woohoo.
Oh yeah, that was me.
Overexcitedly.
I am excited.
And Kay Ribeiro. Welcome.
Welcome. Hello.
We are this week discussing the big pop culture items of the week, and for about the second or third week in a row, they're all TV things, basically. But also, let me say, Kay and I did go to the theatre last night.
What? Date night.
Hold on.
We did try and get you in, Steph.
Right. You ran off yesterday after work, that's where you were going to the...
Yeah.
Okay. We didn't want it to be awkward.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't awkward,
So we are going to be in the kind of early what we've been watching slot. Well, I'm going to be, and I'm sure Kay will join me in expressing our views on Apologia.
Is that how you say it?
Yes, I believe it is.
I've been calling it Apologia.
Yeah, I think that's wrong. Apologia.
I really hope it's not Stockard Channing, who's one of my favourite people ever.
Yeah, Rizzo. Rizzo's in it.
Oh, right. Okay.
Oh.
Mrs. Bartlett from The West Wing.
More importantly.
Is in it, yes. The First Lady of the West Wing, and Rizzo from Greece, Stockard Channing. It's all about her, yeah.
It'll be fine as long as Laura Carmichael's not in it, because if I missed something which had Stockard Channing and Laura Carmichael in it, I would be devastated.
Is Freema Agyeman from Doctor Who your favourite ever companion?
She's only my favourite.
She's in it as well.
Well, you like her more than Paul Mackey?
Hey, listen, let's not go.
Yeah, that would be, frankly, ludicrous if you did. Anyway, we're going to mention that, but the big meat of the show, we're going to be reviewing The Defenders, which is... Steph, as I'm sure you know, especially because you've watched it.
I have watched it.
It's the coming together, isn't it, of
it's
all of
quartet.
These... It's a quartet of Marvel superhero characters that had previously seen on Netflix in their own 13-part series.
Yeah.
13 parts. 13
You'd
parts.
Think it would start with them having this series and then getting their own series, but
no.
No.
Topsy-turvy.
Solo series and then come together.
That's what they do with the Avengers Assemble. That's what it's like.
You know what, Boyd? You've made a very good point, which makes me sound silly.
Thank you. It's the Avengers Assemble of TV, that's what I'm saying. We're doing that. It's on Netflix. It starts next Friday, and we're reviewing it. We've seen it. Quacks is the new BBC Two comedy set in Victorian times about mad doctors and stuff. Mm-hmm. Cheap, Cheap, Cheap is the new Channel 4 daily... I mean, I don't want to give it away. Spoiler alert. Absolutely demented daytime game show hosted by Noel Edmonds.
Bonkers.
And finally, yes, it's back. Celebrity MasterChef, BBC One, next Wednesday. We've watched the opening episode and we're going to be talking about that. One of Chris Hewitt. You know Chris Hewitt of Empire fame?
The legend.
Our sister podcast in many ways. Brother podcast, sister podcast. He is a huge fan of MasterChef and Celebrity MasterChef, yeah.
We should have got him on to chat about it.
He's a huge fan. Yeah, so you're surprised, aren't you? Interesting
I
fact there.
I'm going to have to talk to him about
this. Yeah, to have a chat with him. He'd love to talk about it. Let's crack on with what have you been watching? I mean, Kay and I have been watching Apologia in many ways. Kay might be watching all kinds of other things.
Why don't you just say it but one
Steph,
more time?
Steph, what have you been watching?
Right, well, I've been watching, and I was watching this while you two were at the theatre without me. I have binge-watched Top of the Lake. Since Boyd, so you binged it last week and said you kind of fell into a binge hole with it.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happened to me. I was like, I won't let him beat me. I'm going to fall into a bigger binge hole.
Please do not ruin this for me, because I'm, as you know, I'm not a binger.
Where are you with the first
series? I finished the whole of the first series.
Okay, so where are you with the second series?
I'm where we left off after the first episode.
You've made no progress.
No, because there's so much other good TV to watch.
Okay, right. Well, I have made progress.
Yeah.
Boyd and I were texting, and he said last week that episode 3 had one of the most amazing scenes ever, and I can confirm that it is amazing.
Yeah.
So there are no spoilers there, but this has got some of the best scenes of TV that you will ever see. And I will just say, I know you asked Boyd last week whether Game of Thrones or Top of the Lake, what was winning, and I'm a huge GOT fan, and I have to say, Top of the Lake is winning. It is amazing, this series.
Yeah, I think so. I read a thing online, like one of those, and there's a lot of online... Like
people.
TV
articles.
Recap. There are, do you know what? There are a lot of articles online.
Yeah.
And one of them was about Top of the Lake 2, China mm-hmm. Girl. And it basically said it was one of the greatest things ever in the history of television. And I'm inclined to agree.
Can I tell you
what? Episode 3 or the whole of it?
No, the whole thing.
It is amazing. But I have one slight, very kind of maybe personal problem with it.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Oh, is this a Steph special?
It's a Ricky Whittle.
It's
the most
So let's remember that you hated American Gods because Ricky Whittle plays football with his shirt off in America.
He was just, in real life. Not in the show. In real life.
Yes, okay.
So this, if you've got an equally ludicrous reason for not liking...
I actually think you're gonna say this is not ludicrous.
Okay, carry on.
Okay, so the title of it is Top of the Lake, China Girl. Okay?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now, the women that it focuses on in there are actually Thai, right?
Oh, well, okay. Actually, I'm Steph.
Now, I just want to say, I'm half Thai. Mm. I mean, maybe other people aren't going to pick up on that, but it is factually incorrect.
Are you accusing me of being racist?
I am.
Top of the Lake Thai girl.
Yeah.
Just to defend Top of the Lake China girl and its creator, Jane
Campion. No one's Chinese in it.
Correct. But someone refers to the victim in the series as China Girl.
I know.
Early on, and it's adopted, isn't it, as the case name by the probably racist police.
Yeah, but when they find out she's not Chinese, they should go, oh,
let's change his title.
Yeah, or let's change the investigation.
And the other thing is, of course, China Girl was a brilliant song by David Bowie, which I guess is also part of the reason why they stuck with that
phrase. Once again, boy, talking sense.
But was his song was about a China girl, though?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I mean, well, the only thing that I thought it was referring to maybe the fragility of young women and actually like made of China. That's why
That's a third reason.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought, well, maybe I'll let that one go. But I thought, no, I will mention it.
I think it's good to get these things to air.
That wasn't a whittle, was it? That was actually valid.
That was not a whittle, no. Okay. Well done. Kate, apart from Apologia, do you want to mention anything else? Or do you want to dive straight into our extraordinary experience?
Because I haven't completed the episode, so I feel, but I... very much in the dark. Plowing through that.
You're not in the dark, literally. You've been watching the programme in the dark.
I've very much been watching it, and it is really good. I'm on the last episode, but I'm only halfway through. So
it's slightly undervalued, I think. I've read a few kind of slightly sniffy reviews of it. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
no, it's really good. And it's still on iPlayer, so if you haven't watched it, catch it in the next 2 days, because the first episode is still on.
I think its problem is it came out the same time as Helen McCrory's Fearless, and I think Fearless was better.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, much better, actually. Sorry.
Interesting. And what about... So we went to see Apologia at the theatre. It's at the Trafalgar Studios. And it stars Stockard Channing, as previously mentioned, and Freema Agyeman, and Laura Carmichael off of
Downton Abbey.
And Joseph Milson, interestingly, playing two roles, which let me reveal right now. Yeah, he plays two brothers.
It's like Tom Hardy playing the Krays.
A little bit, except obviously not the stage at the same time, as that would be impossible.
Yeah.
But anyway, they cunningly plays these two sons of Stockard Channing's character. And Kay, let me just reveal now.
Oh, God, I can't bear it.
Sorry. No, I mean...
No, I want to know, what is it? She has gone bright red.
All right, let me tell you. I'll tell you, Steph, because he'll
make it sound awful.
Yeah, he'll put some spin in it.
Go ahead. Right.
When the brother came out, I thought, he does look a bit similar, but I didn't think anything of it until the very end when they all took a bow. And I went to Boyd, where's the other brother? And he went,
okay, that's really, that seems quite, I mean, I don't know how we could have made that worse. That's really embarrassing for you.
I know.
I was going to say it in a less embarrassing way.
No, I said, where's the other brother? And he was like, no, he just had a hat on and actually they weren't on stage at the same time. I was like,
But is that testament to how good he was at playing?
Exactly, yes. Steph.
Joseph Milson, take a bow. He fooled Kay. He played two brothers, and Kay did not realise.
Really hard to get anything by her.
I don't think I was the only person in the audience. No.
But then other funny bit that.
What else?
Sorry, when you said, where is he? And I said, he's the same actor playing two parts. And then you said, well, where's the other guy? He's not there. Is he standing there at the end? There's another character. Wow. I mean, he didn't play three characters. Let me just
I didn't see him.
Anyway.
Well, there's a difference in his hair and makeup really severe.
Absolutely. I mean, he had prosthetics on.
But he did just have the same face build and everything. But
everything
just
was exactly the same. He was just wearing a hat.
Okay.
Anyway, let's not, get bogged down.
Don't
in
dwell
the whole...
on it. What's it about, guys?
It's about, so this is a play that was first performed, I believe, about 8-9 years ago, written by Alexei K. Campbell, who is born in Greece, but is a kind of British playwright. Mm. And it's all about, Stockard Channing is this woman called Kristen, who is this terrifying matriarch, and she is an art historian. She's like a celebrity art historian, famous enough in her field to be like on TV and stuff.
Intellectual
left wing, very very left wing kind of revolutionary activist in the 60s, late 60s and 70s. I would say Germaine Greer almost of art history, maybe. Okay. Yeah, kind of that in that. But still, Greer's kind of like almost slightly gone away, isn't she, from her staunch political lines? Whereas this woman's very much still banging the drum.
Right.
And she is the mother of these two sons. Who,
twins?
Well, they don't make that clear, but they certainly play by the same person, so you decide.
This is so awful.
One of them is deeply troubled, by the way that she treated them, and the other one is kind of has issues. They both have major issues with her.
So she was not a good mother to them.
No. Right. This is the whole theme of the thing, isn't it?
She separated from their father. It was all very acrimonious, and he took them away from her. But their big problem was she never went to try and get
them
back.
She never fought for them.
Yeah, she didn't even go. Like, she was very absent. She kind of neglected them, and one of them's able to get on with their life, the elder son, and the other son, who's very similar looking, has... struggles,
and they all gather along with their respective partners. So the son who can deal with it but still has issues is a banker, and his new girlfriend is played by Laura Carmichael, and she's an American Christian.
Right.
And they met at a prayer meeting, and that's quite a big thing because obviously Stockard Change Gap is a big atheist and completely against all that. And then the troubled brother's partner is played by Freema Agyeman off Doctor Who, and she's a soap star. And she's like a famous, young. And Stocker Channing has huge issues with her because she thinks she's in this terrible sell-out soap. And she's wearing a £2,000 dress that she bought for herself.
Stockard Channing has issues with everyone.
It's with everyone.
Right. She's got beef.
And Stockard Channing, let me just say now, it's not one of those plays where everyone keeps their feelings to themselves.
Oh, no,
quite the opposite. Right. So everyone is venting.
It's very tense.
And they're all gathering to celebrate. What are they even celebrating?
It's her birthday.
Oh, her birthday, thank you.
And Stockard Channing's birthday.
Yeah, and she's just published the book of her memoirs in it, in which, well, minor spoiler, but you find out quite early on, don't you, I think, that she doesn't mention either son in her book of memoirs.
So that's the big issue.
So they're it's all coming to a head because of this.
Right.
So they're all gathering for what turns out to be, as I said in my review in Heat magazine, the dinner party from hell. And everyone's venting.
Is it anywhere near Abigail's party?
Do you know what? Because it is a part, it's definitely like a gathering situation. Yeah, I mean, it's got
tense
that.
Gathering.
It's a classic genre, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Of stage plays,
I think.
I
love Abigail's party.
I love it. Totally one of my favourite things ever, yeah. So I do love awkward gatherings, awkward social gatherings. I think they're brilliant.
But we should say the first half, there's a lot of humour in it.
Very
the first
funny,
half,
yeah.
particularly.
Very funny,
because it sounds dark.
Yeah. Well, the first half's very funny, where they're all gathering and they're being horrible to each other, and they're kind of, you know, trying to keep it in just about someone. Oh, we should say the other characters, Q, is her gay best friend who's been with her all the way through her revolution activities since the 60s, and he's very funny and camp and commenting all the time.
Played by Joseph Milson. He's very
commenting
handsome.
All the time on. No, that's Desmond Bratt. Joseph Milson played the brothers.
Yeah.
Further making it worse.
One actor.
I mean, what day
parts.
Is it? I just don't even know.
Yeah. So, second part is much darker. Yeah. In fact, there's a very dark thing involving a little bit of a story. But anyway, bottom line is, I very much. It's a very entertaining night. At the theatre, as well.
It's brilliant. Stockard Channing is so formidable on stage. Like, when she's on stage, that's all you want to look at. She is such a fantastic actress.
I do like my Stockard Channings to be like Stockard, you know, very, like you say, formidable Stockard Channing.
Because
she's such a great actress.
She's so impressive.
It's an incredible showcase for her. That's clearly, like, I think, really, for me, I haven't even read much about why they've decided to arrive it, because it was on stage first in, like, 2007 or something. I think they just thought, Stockard Channing is going to be amazing, this thing. If she wants to do it, you know, it's going to be a brilliant thing for her to do, and it is. Like
I have to say, Freema was a revelation as well.
Oh, yeah,
for me.
I agree. Yeah.
Because as you know, I'm not Whovian, but I watched a little bit of her in it. I was not that fussed, but she's really good in this.
She's great in this. Yes, is this kind of, and I think one of the big themes of it is, she, you know, you think, oh, this soap star is kind of going to be a bit like shallow, and this the Christian American played by Laura Carmichael is going to be a bit simple, and she is like a bit simpering, wanting to be liked, and the son, the troubled, that you think they're all going to be, you think you know what they are, stereotypes. But actually, one of the great things about it is by the end, they've all actually not turned out to be different to what you'd expect.
Oh, yes. Why is it called Apologia?
Apologia, because
Apologia.
I think
apologies.
Yeah, that's the title of one of her books, isn't it? Or maybe even it, the is it the title
it
of
is
the
a
memoir?
It's the title of the book.
Yeah,
and
Apologia.
And it's the theme throughout.
Yeah, and there's an explanation of what it means. So apologia isn't just an apology. Isn't an apology.
Right.
No, it's there. Look, it's the definition.
Oh, here we go. A formal written defence of one's opinions or conduct.
Crucially, it's not an apology. And that's the whole thing. She never says sorry for the way she treated her sons throughout the whole thing.
Oh, doesn't she? Oh, she's one of them.
Mm. Anyway, I'm recommending it. Okay?
Me too. I'm giving it 4 stars.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we don't even have to give star ratings in the early.
I'm giving it 4 stars. You want to know what
four,
I think?
I'm giving it 4 stars. Yeah. I gave it 4.
Four.
I reviewed it in Heat
Why
magazine.
Didn't it get 5?
I think, I wouldn't
What's
say it's perfect.
What's wrong with it?
Do you know what? I think sometimes it's a bit too on the button. Do you know what I mean by that? So it's a bit like the
no.
Because, as I said, what?
What do you mean? On the button,
on the nose. On the nose. That's the phrase. Not on the button. On the nose is the phrase. On the button is just the wrong phrase. On the button means something completely different. On the nose. It's too on. So do you know what I mean? Like, a lot of, like, Harold Pinter plays, one of my favourite player or whatever, no one is really saying what they mean. Yeah, it's all very...
It's too explicit.
Whereas
too
in this, everyone says exactly what they mean.
Right, okay, yeah.
Pretty much all the way through.
God, that's
so there's no... There's no...
Well, I just think sometimes it was a bit like they could have left some us to work stuff
that's
out.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. So there's no like chance for you to say, oh, no. Well, he obviously was really upset about that. Or no.
Exactly.
Yeah,
okay.
Oh, no, this very much told you explicitly and shouted.
And I don't quite believe that people are like that either. That's my, you know, I kind of, they're all like that. So do you know what I mean? Every single character vents their, the stuff that's on their mind in a very explicit way. And I think actually people aren't really like that. Some people do.
They're very
that
articulate.
Way. Yeah.
Can I just say, the reason I gave you the opportunity to say why did you not get 5 stars is so you could say, if you were there, Steph, it would have been 5-star review.
But well, obviously, if you'd have been there giving
but
us...
It would,
do you know
you
what?
Didn't take it. It would have been 6 stars. You went into a very intelligent explanation of why, and that's not really
sorry.
What I wanted, but
we also did not have any chocolate, which you would have had.
Exactly. Well, there you go.
Because you are... That is...
No but, Steph, no snacks.
No snacks. No Steph, no snacks. Right, anyway, let's move on to the meat of the podcast.
Please, please do.
We're going to start, I think, with... I think what happens to be the big show of the week slash fortnight... The Defenders. I think this is a big thing for Netflix. So it drops. There's only eight episodes. Bear that in mind. So because this is all about the coming together of Daredevil, Charlie Cox, Jessica Jones, Kristen Ritter, Luke Cage, Mike Coulter, and Danny Rand / Iron Fist, Finn Jones. They have all had their own individual 13-part series on
That's
Netflix.
A lot.
Some of them have had 2 seasons. They've all got two further seasons
episodes.
Coming along. I know. It's a lot to take in, Kay.
39 episodes. I'm doing the maths
right.
Live and direct.
Good maths. Gosh. Good live maths. This could rescue you from your not working out the
don't.
Maths.
I can't.
Apologia. And they're all coming together now, as in Avengers Assemble. Mm-hmm. And they're all assembling in New York, funnily enough. Actually, kind of their own
individual. Yeah, they're already in
they're
New York.
They're all in different parts of New York, yeah. So Thingy was in Harlem, and one of them was in Manhattan in Hell's Kitchen, Daredevil. So it is like it's definitely like a big thing. I think it's something that's all been building up to this moment where they unleash the Defenders.
But in this first episode, you just kind of see them in their solo guises in completely isolated storylines.
So it cross cuts between the four different characters and what's happening to them right now in New York and their different kind of escapades. And it will build, I believe, halfway through the season, the 8 episodes, they do start coming together to fight the enemy, who is played by Sigourney Weaver, less. And we don't really know. She's got something horrible planned about Manhattan. She meets up with this woman, and they kind of say, should we unleash this thing that's going
to ruin the city? Can I interject
you
here?
Can interject.
Did you watch Iron Fist?
I watched some of it, but no.
Okay, did you watch Iron Fist?
Okay, no, these are all new characters.
Okay, so if you watched Iron Fist, I watched Iron Fist all the way through, it will make a lot more sense to you, because the big threat is this organisation called The Hand.
Oh, yeah, which they reference.
Right, which they do reference. But that comes... It kind of leads off from Iron Fist with that kind of threat. And so the old woman that Sigourney Weaver's talking to is like the... I thought in the other show that she was the head of the Hand, but now I'm finding out that Sigourney Weaver's the head of the Hand. And so they're the people that...
Head of the Hand.
Yeah.
So confusing.
It's just so confusing.
Talk to the head of the Hand.
Yeah. So now, I don't know. I didn't watch... I only watched Jessica Jones and Iron Fist, so I haven't watched... Daredevil or Luke Cage. So I don't know how much it joins up with the ending of their solo series.
As our super producer / guru John pointed out, it's quite unusual for you to pick Iron Fist, by far the worst one of the four, to watch, rather than Daredevil / Jessica Jones, the better ones. Oh, no, you watched Jessica Jones.
Watched
you
Jessica
didn't watch
Jones.
Luke Cage.
I know. I don't know why I didn't watch
Luke Cage.
Because I
favorite.
Liked Luke Cage when he was in Jessica
Jones. He's my favourite
Jones.
Character.
Yeah, he's really good.
He's really good.
As someone who doesn't watch any of this, he was the one I liked most.
Right, that's
But
that's
mainly
thing.
Because Mike Coulter was excellent as Lamont Bishop in The Good Wife. So,
totally. Yeah. He's a legend.
He's amazing.
He's brilliant.
Yeah.
So here's the question, because you've watched half of these things, clearly.
Yeah.
I've watched probably half as well. I mean, my issue with all of them was they're all too long. Even Luke Cage, which I really like. And Jessica Jones, I pretty much liked. 13 episodes, do me a favour.
It's too long.
They all had episodes.
Half an hour episodes or?
No, hour.
What?
Solid.
Yeah,
they
should have done I should have done then maybe six, seven.
Yeah, or eight. I mean, this is eight. Fine, I can deal with eight.
I think it's six, seven. Iron Fist is basically the same thing for about four episodes.
Because everyone hated on Iron Fist. Like the but you defending it? You think it's all right? Apart from the too long issue.
I don't know. It was watchable. I didn't think it was amazing. I don't know. That's not a defense, though.
She obviously doesn't like it.
It's watchable. It's one of those things. You know, sometimes you start so you have to finish. Do you know what I mean?
That's not going on the poster.
No.
I started, I thought I have to finish.
So you'll have to finish.
Yeah.
It's like Mastermind.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I wouldn't watch it again or recommend it to anyone.
I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. Brilliant. I mean,
she's not endorsing this in any way.
But this, The Defenders, what did we think of this episode? I'm going to come clean. As a doubter, as someone who like was disappointed by the length of those previous shows but liked a lot of elements of it, I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was pacier than a lot of the other previous ones. I kind of liked the fact that the Luke Cage stuff was kind of really good. I thought he was really good in this episode.
That was my favourite stuff.
Yeah, he had a good bonking scene.
With that Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, with Rosario Dawson.
Rosario Dawson does not age.
No. Incredible,
isn't it? Oh my God, how old is she? What does she use on her face? It is incredible.
How old is the Dawson?
Kay's asking how old she is. I'm going to look her up.
Tell me
what you thought of her while I look up the age of Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, so she was a nurse. So she's in Iron Fist as well. So there's obviously like a lot of, I'm going to say, cross-pollination with these characters. Yeah, well, she's definitely on Luke Cage. But she, because she's his girlfriend now, isn't she?
She
was on Iron Fist as a nurse in Iron Fist.
Do you know what would be helpful for people who haven't watched this? Would be a web diagram.
Well, listen, I was going to say, the one thing, having watched two of the solo series, I think for people coming to this fresh who maybe haven't watched any of them, it's very confusing. Because you're like, who are these people? Why are they not meeting? Am I just watching all these individual stories? I think it is a bit confusing, Boyd.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do.
I thought they kind of cunning. I mean, Kay will be the expert on this because she hasn't seen any of it. But I thought they quite smartly woven hints as to what happened before. But what did you think?
As confusing as some of the other. I can't remember what it was we watched.
Was it Sense8?
Yes. This is exactly what it was. And I just found that prohibitively confusing.
But to be fair to Netflix,
understand.
They did have a catch up in the actual transmission of series 2.
Oh, okay,
Sense8,
fine. But
which
that was,
we didn't get when we watched it on the previous.
And when
service.
We previewed it, it was when you were off and Charles was previewing it with me. And I was like, I just do not get this at all. Whereas this, I thought, as you said, because they were basing it on the individual stories before it came together. But still, there was an.
So did you get much enjoyment out of it?
I think it's. I mean, it's well done as well. Like, I think it's very glossy.
Very well done.
I think this
cinematic.
Is one of those ones that once you get maybe to episode 3, it's going to be amazing. But you have to have a certain relationship with these characters, I think, before to love it. I feel like you probably need to watch at least one of the solo series.
Are you going to carry on watching it, Kay?
No.
Well, there you go then.
Well, you're right.
But she's just.
I was
like,
hoping Kay was going to say yes.
Not, you don't like superhero stuff.
I'm not
you?
Really into superhero stuff. I mean, out
What's
of everything.
With superheroes? Why do you
I
hate superheroes?
But I mean, there's other things.
What's wrong? What have they done to you?
I'd rather watch.
A bad experience with superheroes. Yeah. Why do you hate superheroes? Tell us.
I just think. No, I don't know. I don't hate them. I love Spider-Man.
Well, it sounds like you hate them.
I love Spider-Man. It's just like.
That's the one.
Oh my God, I really feel like you're ganging up on me today.
Yeah,
okay.
We are.
I've had enough of this.
Okay.
All right. Well, listen. I am a huge superhero fan. I love Marvel and. I really liked it, but I was very concerned that people who are not as engaged in superheroes, like Kay, as
the people on the ground who aren't,
I am the pop,
who
but
haven't
I
watched
like
Luke Cage or Daredevil or Jessica
one of
Jones
them, so you
or
have,
Iron Fist.
So you have a bit of an emotional connection to one of the characters in this.
Don't watch Iron Fist. Yeah. Watch Luke Cage or Jessica
Jones. I wouldn't recommend
it. I'm definitely going to carry on watching it. I really want to watch the further 7 episodes, and I'm going to give it 4 stars. And Rosario Dawson is 38 years old.
Oh my God, no.
Yeah,
she is
good.
Not. She is
She's incredible.
Amazing. Okay, I am going to give it 4 stars. Most of that is for my love of Marvel, but I do hope it gets better.
I'm giving it 4 stars too, actually. Can I ask you one thing? If it was 13 episodes, would you watch it?
No.
It's too much.
Well, I'd try, but I would be very much angry that it is. That it's 13 episodes. I think this is the right decision.
You'd do it, but you'd be cross.
This is the right decision by Marvel and indeed Netflix.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on to Quacks, the new comedy series that starts on BBC Two next Thursday at 10 of the PM. And this is it's basically a period medical comedy, isn't it, Steph K, who wants to take the reins to describe this?
It is. Okay, so this is set in Victorian times. It's all about Victorian medicine. And it's a bit Horrible Histories, isn't it? If you watch Horrible Histories, it's like Horrible Histories for grown-ups.
It does star Matthew Bainton, who's in Horrible Histories.
Oh, well, there you go then.
Yeah.
Okay, so it follows kind of a just... The early stages of a dentist, a surgeon,
is it a psychiatrist,
psychiatrist. Oh, and there's one more.
Anaesthetist.
Yeah. So, and it's just a very funny, it's a very funny way of looking at how modern medicine came to be. So. It's set in, it's when theatres, when you used to have an operation in a theatre and it was literally like people would come and watch as if it was a show And crucially, it's when they didn't know enough about medicine so that most people died.
Yeah.
So literally pulling out teeth would just be actually just ripped from your mouth. If you needed an amputation, it would, your leg would just be sawn off.
And they drink and they smoke at the same time.
And they drink and smoke, so it's...
And they perform these operations in... So the reason... this is true, by the way. So let me say one thing. So I went to the launch of this show, and the writer, James Wood, who wrote the brilliant Rev...
About the Rev.
Yeah. He explained that he based pretty much every single thing on truth, on reality, on historical truth, including the fact that they used to conduct these operations in front of people.
People used to pay
to go and watch them in the theatre, and they would amputate people's legs and limbs, and they would die in front of them. And this was a much sought after thing.
Yeah. It's insane. It was like, X Factor, the arena tour, when you got the warm up guy.
Yeah.
They've got a warm up guy. Yeah. They've got all the bang crowds.
Mm. Victorians are a bloodthirsty lot.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, it follows these stories. And there's also, in the first episode, you don't get to see her very much, but the wife of the surgeon is in it. And I think she's going to be some kind of social activist.
Lydia Leonard, yes, she is. Yeah, she's based, interestingly, on a real person who...
Oh, is she?
Yeah, who then, by the end of it, spoiler alert, she's going to have blossomed into something important in historically. Let me just say that now.
Florence?
Well, no. Florence Nightingale appears in episode 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah, actual Florence Nightingale. Actual, obviously not actual, but a person playing Florence Nightingale.
Hold on, they got actual Florence Nightingale. How episode did two, they and do it's that?
I meant to say, if you have a chance to watch episode 2, because episode 2 also stars Andrew Scott as Charles Dickinson. He is hilarious.
Oh, I love Andrew Scott.
Andrew Scott.
Friend of Heat.
Friend of Heat, Moriarty from Sherlock, etc.
And also, crucially, it's got Rupert Everett in it.
Yeah. Oh, who is brilliant.
Yeah, Rupert Everett plays the boss of the hospital where the dudes work, and he is hilarious, isn't he? Yeah. He keeps a book of Jews.
Yeah.
Which I thought was
his
brilliant.
Jew book.
As a Jew.
Also, he doesn't care how many patients die, just as long as the paying customers, the people who are watching it, aren't displeased.
Exactly. So he asks everyone, if he meets anyone who he thinks looks Jewish in his weird idea of what a Jewish person looks like, he asks them if they're Jewish.
Yeah.
And if they are, he writes them down in his notebook of Jews.
And even if they're not,
he still does, because they might be Jewish.
One of the funniest scenes, actually, I thought, was with him, when a woman is complaining about pain in her downstairs area, and she says, "Would you like to examine me?" And he says, "Oh, no. And then he brings out, in a box, a porcelain woman, and he's just showing me where the pain is. It's hilarious.
That is a real thing. That's what they used to do.
It's insane.
Because they didn't want to touch the people. They didn't want to inspect
the
people.
But he says, "Why would I want to touch you?"
Right. All of that's how you would examine a patient.
What?
Yes, by pointing at their...
I just thought that was a hilarious scene.
No, that was a real thing.
Because I love it. And then he was like, my advice is go horse riding 2 hours a day, except for Sundays, and put a jacket potato on your area. Yeah.
And again,
like, what?
A real thing.
No.
The jacket potato, honestly, that was so good about...
I actually looked up that jacket potato thing, and that was
true.
Is that what you've been doing?
Yeah, but you know what I thought? It's like a little bit like a hot water bottle, actually. It's not that weird. I had a jacket potato on last night. I tell you what, if I put this jacket potato on when I was feeling a bit cold, it would really warm me up. So it was not that mad.
Hot potato.
Yeah, literally.
What did we think of this?
I thought it was absolutely fantastic. It's so funny, and I definitely will be watching. How many episodes are there?
Six episodes.
All six episodes. When you're watching all that superhero business, this is what I'll be doing.
Oh.
We should say, by the way, so we mentioned it, so Matt Bainton from Horrible Histories is the fledgling psychiatrist. Rory Kinnear from Count Arthur Strong is the arrogant showman surgeon, who's brilliant, I think. Tom Basden from Plebs is the dentist guy, isn't he? Yeah. He's on a lot of drugs and stuff. And Lydia Lenz, as we said, is the wife. Yeah.
I have to say, when I saw that Count Arthur Strong guy in it, I was like, I can't believe
Arthur Strong,
this. But actually, he's redeemed himself.
He's so
well
funny,
done,
isn't
you.
He? He's
yeah, it's really good.
So, do you like it?
I loved it. I thought it was really good. I was only slightly concerned. Like, there's only so many of these jokes of people dying that they could do, and I was just slightly worried at how they're going to maintain the humour.
Oh, see, I was like, I was just lapping it up. I was like, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, but it was really funny. But once somebody's died and they've cut a few things off and they've got the ether and everything correct, I don't know. I hope that it can sustain.
Well, that's why, episode 2 has got Charles Dickens and Florence Nightingale.
Okay, so that's it. Yeah.
And there'll be
actual Florence Nightingale.
Actual Florence Nightingale.
Funny and factual.
Exactly. How many stars? Okay.
4 stars.
4 stars from me.
It's 4 from me. A rare moment
of solidarity.
Complete
unity.
Agreeance.
Next, we move on from the sublime quacks to the genuinely ridiculous cheap. This is the new... Now, I've said last week, when we... Was it reviewed last week? In the fluff spot? This is the fluff spot writ large.
Do you know what I thought you were going to say? I thought you were going to go, this is a mistake.
No, steady, no. So in the fluff slot, our new fluff slot, we review something every week that's fluffy, and clearly in this period of the summer where they don't put their best stuff on TV generally because people are on holiday and the whole TV industry goes on holiday and doesn't give a flying shit about viewers.
Language boy.
So anyway, mad things arrive on TV. Last week we did Teach My Pet to Do Things.
Teach
My Pet to Do That.
Which you loved.
Whatever.
Which was great.
Which was clearly a mad summer thing.
Although I have nearly got my dog to open the back door, so I'm pretty pleased.
Brilliant.
I actually have.
Did you get the dog to watch the show?
He does actually. Mo does actually watch television, but I have to say, I did get a ribbon, as they instruct you to in that show.
Did you teach him how to say who is it?
And yeah, he goes, "Oh, is it?" And then he opens the door. That's
amazing.
What happens.
Amazing. So, this is, as far as I can make, so this is the new Noel Edmonds daytime, every weekday game show. It's on at 3 o'clock on Channel 4 from next Monday, and it's going to be on for like 6 weeks or something like that. So they ditched Deal or No Deal, which is obviously iconic show.
Why did they ditch Deal or No Deal?
I think they just thought after, you know, I mean, going for like, I don't know, off the top of my head, 10 years, I made
that
up.
Was it going on longer than Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
I think about the same, probably. Right.
Was there any sense that people were tired with Noel Edmonds?
Oh, well, I sense there is. I think that's a spiky little question from you.
But was there? Because...
Maybe.
Okay, fine.
So, and ratings did start to slide, because in its day, in its heyday, Deal or No Deal became this huge phenomenon. It was one of the huge big successes of Channel 4 daytime in history, and it became that all the celebrities would watch it. Obviously, they don't have proper jobs, so they'd sit at home watching it. Anyway, oh yeah, it's true. What, celebrities? They don't know.
Oh, right, fine. I thought you were talking about the pogs then.
No, not at all. I mean, it became like people like, I remember like Ricky Gervais would talk about it a lot, and you know, Jonathan Ross, it'd be like a thing that they'd watch when they're getting ready to do their stuff. Anyway. I witcher on.
So
having ditched Neil or No Deal. Neil or No Deal?
Neil or No Deal.
That's a
now,
I'm definitely investing.
The Edmonds is back. Now, I believe this is his own idea.
Of course, it's got Edmonds' idea written all over it.
He was having a meeting with a bigwig over lunch.
Yep.
And he just played this random game.
Yeah. I'm going to just say
two words. Passion project. Okay. And what do we know about passion projects?
Well,
utter crap.
Hold on. So the idea of the game element, hence the title Cheap, 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 is that duos of contestants, not necessarily couples, they seem to be friends, to be the thing. And they're from a little pool of people sitting there waiting to come on. Like there was a pool for Deal or No Deal, remember?
Yeah.
Come on. And they have to guess that among three items, from genuine items that you can
buy in shops,
which is the cheapest. So it's the first one is different tins of beans, basically. Yeah.
Noodles, or it can be anything.
It could be anything.
Batteries.
There's one is a pee detector, which I thought was very funny. Mm. A thing to detect if there's urine on your...
But it's pet urine, that's actually...
I'm going to get one of those. Yeah, right. Yeah. See? Well,
It's got new stains. You can detect new stains, which I sort of thought you could probably see them with your eyes, and then old stains. It's like one of those luminal detectors that they have on murder shows.
Right, yeah. So that's the game show element. But then on top of that whole thing is this comedy element. Because it is the whole idea of it. This is the really unique element.
Sorry, did you say comedy element or cringe element? Because I didn't hear you.
Easy. God, you're really going for it. It is a cross between a game show and a comedy show because there are Noel hosts it, but he is surrounded. The concept is,
can we just say this is set in a general store. So it's like a shop,
right.
A bit like Supermarket Sweep,
right?
And he is the shop owner.
But it's a fake. It's a set, obviously.
Obviously, they haven't set up in Tesco's.
They've been in Supermarket Sweep. Anyway, they have the set, which is like this kind of ramshackle shop. Run by Barry from Watford. Now,
who is funny? Actually, I have to say he is the funniest out of all of them.
Barry from Watford is a legendary comedy character. This is the extraordinary thing. Now, this is going to be a massive divergence, but you know, I do my Arsenal podcast, right? Which new episode?
We don't like to talk about it on this podcast.
If you like TV and football,
the company that makes my Arsenal podcast and does lots of other football podcasts also do a podcast featuring Barry from Watford, this very character on this very show. Yeah,
is he
played by Alex
from
Lowe? No, the characters.
Oh,
Barry, and he's been going for years. He's a hilarious fictional character who started out phoning into Ian Lee. Like, it's basically the idea of him is one of those people who phones in radio phone-in shows and talks kind of nonsense.
Okay.
That was the original conception of the character, isn't he? So, and he pops up in this show along with three or four other fictional characters like the handyman, etc., who chip in every now and then. While Noel's hosting the game show element, it's crazy. Obviously, you hate it, Steph. Why?
I hated everything thing about it. It was cringy. It was embarrassing. Noel Edmonds' waistcoat annoyed me. Okay, so production values, horrendous, okay? It's echoey and it's Kay, shh. Right? Okay.
No, he didn't.
Don't interrupt the rant.
Production values are horrendous. Okay. It said they're in this huge warehouse. It sounds like they're basically playing this game in front of three people who just limply clap. I don't like it when people pretend that they're like, it's just the whole comedy aspect when they're like, there's this woman who supposedly is like this health guru who lives at the back, and they're the ones that come and bring out the items. Mm. And I'm just. What I really hate is when one of the comedy characters says something funny and then Noel is looking at all the other people as if, it's so cringy. It is like he doesn't know what they're going to say. And also what I hate is so you get these two people who they've obviously said to them, right, well, beans aren't that exciting or whatever the three products we're going to put aren't that exciting. So how can we eke this out? Why is this a challenge? And then they start saying things like, oh, right, this one's 500 grams and this one's 200 grams. I haven't got time for that.
No, you're absolutely wrong about that.
Wait. There's more I hate.
You haven't got time for what?
For that kind of stupid... Just make a quick decision.
You missed the point with that bit because they're trying to guess which is cheaper. So obviously, if one is 500 grams, one's 200, it's probably going to be...
That's just stupid.
That's like, logical.
No, it's so
that's actually logical. Are you saying it's logical? Yeah. That's logical.
No, it's so stupid. And also...
You're so stupid.
That bit where...
Yes.
I will fight you over Noel.
I will defend that point.
I just can't. You know what? The deal or no deal thing was fine, okay? But it's over for him now. I'm sorry. The house party was a long time ago, and that was his heyday.
Quickly Bottom.
And
you never liked Quickly Bottom.
No, I loved
me.
Noel's house party.
Oh, you loved Quickly Bottom.
I loved it. But some things you've got. Sometimes you've got to rest things, and you've got to let them be in the past. And Noel is one of those.
You're resting
things.
Noel
needs to be rested for
step
good.
Down.
He
step
does.
Down.
God, it's awful.
Kay, I feel, disagreed.
Okay, I should tell you what I liked about it.
Oh, please, I have no idea why you would like this.
I'll tell you for why. I love a game. You know I love a game. I love board games. I love games in the pub, like the quizzes. I love all of it. This is such a simple game that you can play at home. If you and me were together watching this, we would play it. You 100% would go, go on, Kay, which one do you think is cheaper?
And I'd go on the show. You should go on the show, the two of you.
I would literally
would love
rather
to have you
do
on.
Absolutely. I would rather
no
watch
one would need protection.
Arthur Strong. I'd rather watch that for 24 hours.
You'd rather
hours.
Watch Ricky Whittle play football with his top off.
Yeah, whilst also having Ricky Whittle play football in front of me, then go on this show.
Do you know what? I'm going to secretly get you in on the show.
I would
you
do
know
it.
What they do when like mothers
win.
Get their
we would
get
win.
Their daughters on X Factor? I'm going to get you on. I'm going to get you on cheap if it kills me.
It's a really simple concept. I think people will play at home. I really love the game. Admittedly, the comedy element is not funny at all. I mean, the only one, Barry's, he's vaguely funny. The rest of them, I actually wrote down a quote. They were talking about that health guru, the health and happiness guru, Mariana. They were talking about Noel presenting his first lottery. Do you remember he did the lottery?
Oh, the lottery
show? Like, oh, and she comes on and she goes, oh yeah, it used to be absolutely magical when your balls dropped on TV for the first time.
Yeah, I'm not down with that.
I mean, if you're given that line a better delivery, it was really funny.
All right, you do it. Here, I've written it down.
You've ruined it.
You deliver that line.
Okay, so hold on.
Balls drop.
There was a balls drop joke, all right? On 3 o'clock on Channel 4 on Monday afternoon.
Hold
You'd be thrilled.
On. What else did you like? So basically, you're basically saying that the reason you like this is because it's simple.
No, that's a good game. It's a good game to watch. That people are going to love watching this game. And that the set design's good. I think the set design is good.
Oh, the set design is so shit.
I think you've misinterpreted. I have to say.
How could I have misinterpreted it? What is that? In what possible way have I misinterpreted
it? Because it's set in a ramshackle
store.
Yeah, it's meant to be like that.
I don't want to watch the inside of a shop. I could go into my corner shop. I don't want to watch the inside of a shop and then people going.
But it's the whole idea, isn't it? And they know what they're doing. They deliberately made it look like a cheap ramshackle shop.
If you go to Tesco's or another store, maybe on like a Wednesday, right? You'll see some people in there buying food and going, oh, should I get this one or should I get this one? Which one's more cheaper? It's happy. It's not a game. It just happens in real life.
Yeah, but do they win money if they choose a cheaper one? They don't win £25,000.
They save money.
And they don't get to be on a TV show with Noel Edmonds for an hour.
Well, that is blessed relief.
Anyway, you've misunderstood the set, which is fine, which is good, which is funny. And B, here's my thing about it, right? So, I mean, I am very much a Noel hater.
Mm. Oh my God, I'm so happy to hear that.
And I've always hated him. going back
to... What did he do to you?
Even when I was 6 years old watching Saturday Superstore on a Saturday morning on BBC One.
Isn't he annoying?
He's always been annoying. So, and yet, he kind of is a TV genius. This is my theory about Noel Edmonds. And I
this
do
is a
feel
genius
he's
show.
A TV genius. So the thing about him is he's horrendously irritating.
Yeah, and the hair colour.
Smug and everything. He's still maintaining this tidy beard and his BG hair and everything. He looks ridiculous.
God, he's awful.
Terrible waistcoat, you're right.
The waistcoat.
But his TV formats are brilliant.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the way through his career, they've been incredible. And I have to say, Deal or No Deal was unbelievably
success.
Brilliant, considering it was a whole epic game show built on nothing, literally just
opening boxes.
Similarly, I find it absolutely incredible that someone has gone along with the idea of doing this show thing with these fictional characters, including one played by the unbelievably funny cult figure of Barry from Watford, who is brilliant. I'm sorry. And I just love the idea of the fact that people are watching Barry from Watford, this cult comedy figure, kind of mingling with Noel Edmonds. Noel Edmonds letting him do what the hell he wants, by the way, which is also incredible. Noel's very chillaxed about the whole thing. Anyone could do anything in the middle of the show.
It's
and
renegade.
I find it absolutely... pleasurable viewing.
Do you know what? I'm going to take back your membership card to the We Hate Noel Club now.
I can't stand him. Like, do you remember when he did that Noel's HQ thing for Sky, where he basically berated people in jobs for health and safety things? He was a monster on that show. And he's horrendous, but he is brilliant at this kind of stuff.
What's he into as well?
Oh, he's got his things he writes on his hand, his ludicrous, mystical bullshit.
Honestly, I'm worried that both of you have had some serious incident last night because this is so shit.
No.
Honestly, please, I think people are going to be like, okay, you know what? I hate the fact they have to go cheap, cheap, cheap after they've picked the
How about
cheapest
this?
Okay, one.
Let's draw it to close. How about this? We let the pogs decide.
Yes.
No, there's no
We're
tension.
Do a poll.
There's
we'll
no
do
tension
a
in deciding what's cheaper, a pot noodle or something from Aldi. It's ridiculous.
What, £25,000 is ridiculous?
Steph, I think you'll find in the end
the people
will decide, and I think this is going to be a cult phenomenon.
No,
I think
it isn't.
It is.
It is. I agree with you.
If it is, I'm leaving the country because I cannot be around
now. Phil Collins said that when the Tories are in, he didn't want to pay too much tax.
You've heard that. If it's not successful, Steph's going back to China.
She's doing a Phil Collins. China girl. Well, I think it's going to be a cult phenomenon, this show. When people get slapped their eyes on it, 3 o'clock on Channel 4 from next Monday, people are going to be absolutely
stunned. It's going to be...
Kay, how many stars?
I'm giving it 4 stars.
Yes, 4. Steph?
A half star.
Excellent. Well, you decide. Please get us. Please feedback
we'll
to us at Boyd Hill and at Steph Seed and at Kerry Barrett. Let us know what you think of this extraordinary programme.
Now, if you haven't listened to this show before and you're wondering what we're going on about by saying pogs, pogs, hashtag pogs, is a people on the ground. The people, you people, who we really care
you
about,
people.
Or we really think, and I know you'll be with me in saying that Noel Edmonds needs to be rested.
You don't know that. Anyway, let's move on to finally Celebrity MasterChef, which is a cultural phenomenon whenever it's on every year. And can I just say, in my name-dropping theme of life, you know, I like to
It's
drop
a Boyd name.
Don't you know Barry as well?
I know Barry, yeah.
You didn't mention that.
Barry from Watford, yeah. Mm. Well, that was the thing I was trying to explain, and I got cut short because you were
so venting
your fury. But he does his podcast, often is recorded before mine, and I come in and I see Barry from Watford finishing off his podcast with Angelos Epithemiou. You know Angelos Epithemiou? That fictional character as well, they do it together.
Okay.
It's very funny. Well, Barry and Angelos. Download it.
Anyway, we'll definitely tune in.
I also know a previous winner of Celebrity MasterChef.
Who?
Emma Kennedy.
Oh,
the Kennedy,
yes.
Who I did 3 moonwalks with, and is a very dear friend of mine, and is
very
brilliant.
Funny on Twitter.
Very funny on Twitter. She won Celebrity MasterChef, I think 2 series ago, roughly.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, I'm a huge fan. I'm coming out now as a huge fan of Celebrity MasterChef. What
who
about
isn't?
You? So let's say who
I'm
wants
not.
To set up first?
Here we go.
Fucking troublemaker. Sorry, I didn't mean to swear. But this series of Celebrity MasterChef, I'm going to read out the list of celebrities taking part, just while you calm down.
Okay.
Is Leslie
it going to be
Garrett.
As long as the show, which is way too long?
Leslie Garrett, Stephen Hendry, Jim Wilde, Vic Reeves, Nick Moran, Rachel Stevens, Jamie Hemsley, no idea who that is, Brian Bovelli, French tennis legend Henri Leconte, Abdullah Afzal, Dev Griffin, Angelica Bell, Becky Adlington, Julia Somerville, Debbie McGee, Tiger Drew Honey, Barney Harwood, Ulrika Johnson, Asma Mir, Patty Boulay, and last but very much not least, Reverend Kate Botley off of
Gogglebox.
And this week, in the first round of Heats, which is we watched the very first episode, we have Leconte.
Mm-hmm. Former tennis player.
I have to say, I've been deliberately building up to that. Jim Moyer, aka Vic Reeves, Angelica Bell, who I also know, just putting it out there.
She's sweet.
Presenter Judith Somerville, who I love, by the way. Former newsreader of Judith Somerville, is my favourite. And Stephen Hendry, snooker dude. Yeah. And they all cook stuff. And what did you think?
I'm not sure Judith Somerville knew what she was looking for. She had any idea what
she was like a rabbit in the headlights.
No idea.
Okay. Do you want me to tell you what?
Yes, I do want to tell you what you thought.
This show is way too long. It is so long. I was like, has this been on for 3 hours? Yeah, but it feels like 7. It's so long.
Can I just say, I hate to interrupt. Well, I don't, but I interrupt all the time. I apologise in advance. But this was the hour-long Wednesday night show that we watched. There's an hour and a half Friday night show. Carry on.
There's two of these.
Yes,
in
2 a week. The hour and a half Friday night show. Carry on.
Okay, right. I liked MasterChef when it was like back in the day when, Lloyd Grossman did it. But I feel like this kind of like for amateur cooking, like you've got Great British Bake Off, so why?
What? But like this was before Bake Off, don't.
Something else came along, Bake Off, and it's better. So rest.
No.
Okay. Wait. So here's the other reasons I don't like it. Okay, it's way too long, okay? And also...
Only an hour.
Yeah.
It's too... It doesn't feel like that. I don't like... So they come in, they get a box, don't they?
A
mystery box, and they don't... I think they should be made to use absolutely every ingredient in that box to make something. Some of them just use one of the things. Okay, fine. And then they go off to a restaurant to learn
to test them in stressful environments.
Didn't you love the angry woman being annoyed with them for being a bit shit?
She was such a ball buster.
Yeah.
Yeah, but do you know what I was just thinking the whole time?
She was from Asta, a Nordic and French cuisine restaurant.
She was terrifying.
I just thought, oh, do you know what? They're not really cooking any of that stuff. She's getting some people by the side.
Oh, my God,
what?
No, I actually think she's gone insane.
Yeah,
stuff that went out was actually cooked by those people.
Steph's lost it. You've actually lost it.
I didn't like it.
Interestingly now, it is interesting to see what they look like, these people a bit.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Because the reason you haven't seen... The reason you haven't seen them for a while is because no one's interested in them. That's the point. But it's true.
Take it back.
I will not.
Vic Reeves.
Exactly. And that Jim really Reeves. Wound me up.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. That
annoyed
really wound me up. Pick a name.
Jim Moore. Just call him Vic. Vic.
Pick
Come
a name.
On.
Vic Reeves or Jim Moore. Okay, pick one of those. I just... God, I didn't... I don't know. I just thought it was rubbish.
You really took against her.
I really did.
I completely, wholeheartedly disagree. Like, MasterChef's a classic. It's so good.
I like it with normal people, like general people.
Ones are an hour long. Well, they vary, but some of them are an hour long.
No,
as well.
I like normal. I like it when it's the normal people and they're
actually on the ground.
But they do those listen to me.
Yeah, okay.
Kay has got her finger up.
Yeah, she has.
It's the only way silencing her. They do those kind of challenges on the normal one.
Right.
Of course.
So
okay, I don't mind that. Do you know what? I tell you what is one of the things that I hate the most.
More than Ricky Whittle.
More than Ricky Whittle, unless Ricky Whittle does this thing that I hate. I hate it when celebrities say, oh, I actually really love to cook. I cook all of the time at home. And then they bring out a cookbook. No, I don't think everyone can bring out a cookbook. It really annoys me.
None of these people have on the show.
But they will. But they will. This is the thing.
Oh my God.
They will.
She's
at the end, one of these people will bring out a cookbook and it will annoy me. I don't like it. And I hate it when people say they
cook. So you're actually getting annoyed about something that hasn't even happened yet.
Yes.
Okay, well, let me just say, I'll bear all that in mind, but let me just say that I'm a huge fan of the MasterChef format, both celebrity and normal. I watch them both fairly religiously. I mean, I don't mind if I miss the odd episode. I just think the whole thing is a joy to watch, yeah. And, it's just good to see these people. I want to see Vic Reeves / Jim Moore, I don't care which way he calls himself. Cooking and seeing whether he's making decent.
Why is it good to see it?
Because it's interesting to see.
You're going to force me to use the word, aren't you?
Oh, God.
The journey. So you see them in this stage cooking like basically variants on like beans on toast or something. And then by the end of it, they're creating these amazing concoctions.
Do you know what?
Which are extraordinary. Remember when Ryland Clark, Big Brother's Big Thing, he was doing these unbelievably elaborate things by the end of his Celebrity Master.
He was amazing.
He didn't even win.
Great, but the journey that I care about is the journey to them getting back to what they do that originally made them famous. Not trying something else new. No, just get back to what you know.
So do you hate it when they do Celebrity Bake Off?
No, because I love Bake Off.
Okay.
Okay, I think
we'll rest it there.
I don't think there's any logic to it. I think it's just gone nutso.
I do love Bake Off.
How many stars are we giving The Return of Celebrity MasterChef?
I'm giving it 4 stars. What about you?
Yeah, 4 from me.
Do we even dare ask?
Dare we ask?
I suppose 3 because people might like it. But it's really long. You say it's an hour, but I think we should check that.
Friday, 90 minutes. 90 minutes. It's good. It's on every week for the next like 6 weeks or something. And the Wednesday episode, starting next Wednesday, at 8 o'clock, is an hour. But the Friday episode, starting at 8:30, is an hour and a half. I'm going to force you. I'm going to sit you down. I'm going to tie you up with your dogs doing tricks and pulling the door open to watch the hour and a half Celebrity MasterChef.
I think that's my... So you're telling me that you can watch 2.5 hours of Celebrity MasterChef in a week?
Yeah, absolutely. Me and Chris Hewitt... Okay, can be there as well.
Yeah. I'm going to talk to Chris about this.
Yeah, have a chat with him. He'll persuade you. You haven't given a star rating yet. How many stars have you given?
No, I said I'll give it 3.
3. Oh, yeah, after that ranting, you still gave me
2. Well, I don't want to.
Which is, by the way, a recommendation.
You're both looking at me with evil
eyes. Classic turnaround.
If I was giving it the real recommendation that I want, I would say 1. Because
you have to
be honest.
Give your honest opinion.
Your honest
I don't
opinion.
Want it to be a backlash.
It's too late now.
To be fair, I think you should be more worried about the rant.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't like it. I wouldn't watch it. And I think that you can do something better with 2.5 hours of your time. A week.
Well, it's all got very, very spiky. Quick.
This feels like the first half of Apologia. Very tense.
Very tense. Very tense. Let's just all take a chill pill and have question time.
She doesn't even want to do the song.
Oh my God.
She's so mad.
I'm exhausted.
She's exhausted to do the song. Right, I'll do it. Solo song.
Okay. Put you back into it.
Oh my God, poor John's going to deal with that volume issue on the production.
Do you want us to do it again? We'll do it properly.
No, it's too late. No, I can't endure you doing it again. It's fine. So, in honour of Cheap, 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 the world's greatest game show, what is your favourite game show in history so far in your life?
I love QI. QI is my favourite game show. It is hilariously funny. It is very informative. And I love Sandy Toksvig and I love Stephen Fry as the presenters. It is genius.
Okay.
She's so angry with me right now, she can't even speak.
Kay's
angry,
gathering herself. She's laughing at her
exhausted.
Own answer.
Oh, no,
she's, no, she's in a state of exhaustion. Yeah. She can't bring herself to...
I really like Supermarket Sweep. I've mentioned it before. Yeah. I just love it. Del Winton. And I'll keep on mentioning it until it comes back.
Filmed in Tesco's.
filmed in Tesco's. It's a fictional supermarket.
Filmed in a very believeable supermarket.
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
Like this show, no,
unlike
cheap,
that,
cheap, cheap.
Unlike that warehouse.
I'm going for... I was mulling this over and I was thinking, when I wrote down on the thing, favourite game show, I'm thinking, are we including Comedy Panel shows? And you've gone
oh,
there.
Oh, sorry, I have.
No. I think it's absolutely fine because they are games. That's a game show. It's a game. There's a game element. So I am including... the Rolls Royce, even better than QI, Would I Lie to You?
Oh, that is really good. That is really good.
One of my favourite shows on television. Yeah. Do you know what? People ask me often, when you go home, what do you watch for fun? Like, rather than, you know, if you don't want to watch 10 episodes of Ozark or something, or Iron Fist.
Iron Fist.
Would I Lie to You repeats on Dave. Oh, bring
it's
them
very,
on.
It's very, very funny.
Literally, I could watch like 10 in a row.
Yeah.
It's
10
in a row?
Show.
Really?
It's a great show.
I would like to give Blockbusters a little shout out as well.
Actually, can I give another shout out? Can I give Countdown a shout out? Because Countdown's
classic.
Incredible.
I think, you know, we should stick to one.
Sorry, Headmaster.
Well, there'll be some rules.
But I like it when 8 out of 10 cats do Countdown. I don't like it so much when 8 out of 10 cats do 8 out of 10 cats.
Well, they've stopped doing it pretty much. I mean, it's all about 8 out of 10. It's an interesting point because 8 out of 10 cats does Countdown has become the thing they do now rather than 8 out of 10 cats. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. The world agrees with you.
Oh, well, thank goodness.
And on that factual note, let me thank Kay Ribeiro and Steph Cillian for being
feels like you don't want to thank me because, you're cross with me about it.
I wasn't angry.
I won't
chilled.
Say what I said to Kay. I'd say that caused her to be very angry when I said you're wrong.
Oh.
Yeah, I won't
What
say
is it?
That.
No, you have to say it now. What did you say?
I said you're wrong to Kay about something before.
I had an opinion on something. You said you're wrong.
Yeah, I said you're wrong.
Luckily, all my opinions in this podcast are correct. So
we're all right. We're all right in our own crazy way. That's the podcast. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.